Hey you, how's it going? My name is Ruby Price and you are listening to the 32nd episode of Fresh From The Scene. Today's show features my good friend Chaz Sheron, who agreed to come back and round up our top albums and songs of the year again. Just like we did last year. Before we get started, I just want to say a big thank you to all of you who have listened to an episode of Fresh From The Scene this year. I know it hasn't been the greatest year for uploading podcasts, and I have been anything but consistent with getting them out, but it has certainly been a year for that. I would also like to thank the guests who have appeared on the show this year, so thank you to Tom Michener, Resisting Retrospect, Ben Langford Biss, Arthur Walwin, Strange Bones, Stray Weather, Mahatma Raindrop, Death Blooms, and Sean Smith. If you missed any of those episodes featuring those guests, they are all available on whatever platform you're listening to this podcast on right now. So go do it. Well, after this one is finished, at least. There's links in the description to everything you need going forward, and if you enjoy the episode, please do give it a share, and if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please take 5 minutes to give us a review. Also, Spotify is now rolling out star ratings for podcasts, so if you're listening on Spotify, please give this podcast a rating. Very well, let's get underway with both mine and Chaz's top records and songs of 2021.
You're listening to Fresh From The Scene with your host, Ruby Price.
Welcome to Fresh From The Scene. Today, we're going to be listing our albums and songs of 2021. And I couldn't do this without bringing back my good friend, Chaz Sheron.
Guess who's back? Back again.
I just told
Chaz them. Is back.
I just told
Yeah,
them.
It's me. Yeah, I mean, that's true. It's me. It's Chaz. That, it's the Chaz. One and only. I've got COVID. Amazing.
Yay.
I somehow managed to go the entire 2 years since March 2020 without getting COVID. And now, just in time for this podcast, I'm at home. So,
I mean, at least we were planning on doing this remote anyway.
Yeah. I mean, you could have picked any day of the week, but today just worked. Yeah.
Yeah.
How was your Christmas? Did you have a lovely Christmas?
It was very nice. You know, I got to see family that I haven't actually met before. In the sense of, you know, I got to spend it with my partner's family. And that was nice because, you know, I'd met them previously for like 5 minutes, and that's not really meeting someone. That's just having a conversation. And but yeah, it was nice, like, you know, not having to care about things that was going on. You know, it was unplugged. There were two cats there, which really made my Christmas.
It's not Christmas if there's no cats.
Exactly. What about you? Did you have a good Christmas, Chaz?
I had a very lovely low-key Christmas.
Yeah.
I went to go see my sister. I spent it with, my sister and her fella and her 5-month-old, because I've become an uncle since the last we spoke. Yay. Which is wonderful. Wonderful times.
Well done, but like, you had nothing to do with
it. I had absolutely nothing to do with it. And if I did, that would be the worst.
The worst.
He's the only child I've ever liked. So that's good.
It certainly helps to like the ones that you are related to.
I have always disliked children. So I am quite glad that I don't immensely hate my own nephew.
Yeah, it's always a good start. For the people that didn't listen to our last episode, the format of this is basically going to be, we're going to do our albums of the year first, then our songs of the year, and it's going to be, you know, Chaz is going to list one, I'm going to do one, Chaz going to, and back and forth. You know.
And for those who did listen last year, we've had an ultimate role reversal where Ruby does have a solid 5 albums, and I am very shaky on my top 5 albums.
Yeah, like I actually got to listen to music this year, and you know, I realized in the, you know, run up to this, that the reason for my lack of being able to listen to new music and stuff last year was the fact I wasn't going to gigs and discovering new bands and being able to check out their stuff, which is where, you know, primarily my music taste has come from. But this year, you know, we got to go to some gigs, and that meant discovering new bands. A couple of which made it onto my list. So, you know, thank
Excellent.
You very much for letting us go outside for 5 minutes.
You're very welcome, Ruby.
Yeah.
To be fair, I wouldn't say my lack of albums this year is because I haven't been listening to music or discovering new music. I think I've sort of fallen into the trap, which I think a lot of the generation, our generation and the generation after us have fallen into, where I'm kind of a singles guy now, where I'll just listen to music in playlists rather than in albums, which is to my detriment because it means I haven't listened to a lot of albums this year. And it's my New Year's resolution this year is that I will listen to more records. So
well, I'm going to give you 5 to listen to as records.
I mean, I've already I've already skimmed through your records, Ruby, but thank you.
That's not listening to them as records, though, is it?
What do you mean? You can't decide on a favourite album of the year by just skimming through a record?
No, you can't.
Unbelievable. Well, I can actually tell you that my favourite book of all time is just one that I skimmed through. I think I read 2 pages the entire time. Yeah. Right, anyway, carry on.
Let's start by completely throwing off the formula and actually discussing an honourable mention, because this came up whilst we were planning for this episode.
Yeah.
And I listed Inside by Bo Burnham as just like my shortlist.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got us onto this, you know, topic of, you know, can we actually include it as an album? And I think you've summed this up best. So I'm going to let you actually, you know, put on, you know, the reasoning as to why we've decided that it doesn't quite make it onto the list.
Thank you for all that pressure. I love that so much. So I originally had this on my shortlist as well. And if I'm completely real, when it comes to like pieces of music that I've listened to most as a body of work, I think Inside would definitely make it onto my top 5. But for me, Inside is so intrinsically linked to the visual of the special that Bo Burnham released on Netflix. For me, it sort of loses something without it. And listening to it as an album is a perfectly way of consuming that media, a perfectly good way of consuming that media, sorry. And it is absolutely fantastic content as music. But the visual adds to it so much that for me, calling it my favorite album would sort of cheapen the content. It's a favorite piece of media of ours, but I wouldn't necessarily say it's my favorite album.
I completely agree. And you know, whilst I was prepared to just include it anyway because I've listened to it so much as an album as opposed to watching Inside a lot, that it sort of works the same way. Mm-hmm. I do completely agree that, like, you know, I wouldn't just stick on Bezos 2, you know, in the same way that I would stick on, you know, a song from any of the records that have just made it into my list.
Mm-hmm. See, this is me including it as a body of work, because yeah. I do think there are some songs from Inside that do work by themselves. I think Welcome that funny feeling,
problematic.
Yeah, that Welcome to the feeling. Internet. That funny feeling, I think, is just one of the best songs of the year. Full stop. I think it's just a really well written song, but one song does not an album make. So.
And I think it's a testament to just how much...
Versatile.
Yeah, just how versatile it is that, you know, it has reached these levels of, you know, just being a cultural phenomenon. And mm-hmm. Inside is on vinyl as well now. Like, so it is arguably a record. For those of you who are like, oh, why isn't Inside on either of our lists? It would be if it fit the right criteria.
It would be, but we were strict with ourselves.
Yes.
We gave ourselves a whipping about it.
Yeah. So anyway, Chaz, give me your honourable mentions for your album of the year.
So like I mentioned, I've my list is a bit shaky. It's made up of albums that I did really, really love, but I feel like under any scrutiny, I could listen to a lot of albums and they'd probably end up in my top 5 this year just because of how few albums I'd listened to this year. But my top 5, I'm just going to list my... my honourable mentions, I'm just going to list off a bunch of albums that I did listen to this year that I thought were really good that didn't make it into my top 5. So the new Slater record is really, really good. That's a really, really good pop record. It's not quite as abstract and left field as some of her early hyper pop stuff, but it does have some really, really good tracks on it. The new Doja Cat record, Planet Her, has got some really, really good spots on it. One of the better pop and rap records of the year, which is just really, really good. The new Don Broco record has got some high highs on it. All of the singles from that record were exceptional. I think if some of the deeper cuts from that album had been a little stronger, it probably definitely would have ended up on my list, because the singles from that record are really, really, really strong. Uber is an amazing song. Manchester Super Reds number one fan. I think that's what it's called. That's a really, really good song. There's some others as well that I can't think of off the top of my head, but they were really, really good as well. Don Broker had a really epic year for singles, but the album's really good, but it does suffer from some super high highs and some sort of middling lows. Yeah. And the last one I'm going
to
mention,
you've got to wait because Adele decided to, you know, block the vinyl chain.
Well, actually, my next one was going to be the new Adele record's pretty good. Yeah, the new Adele record's pretty good. I've kind of been forced to listen to that one by proxy from other people, but I've also been forced to listen to my number five by proxy from other people. So, the new Adele record's pretty great for saying that it did, you know, hold up the record industry for at ransom. And my final one that I was going to mention, there's a band called Drumcore. They're a sort of extremely noisy hardcore punk band. And when I say noisy, I mean like walls of noise, like white noise, and just incredibly violent sounding music, which I've very much been enjoying this year. The album title I have not got on hand, but Drumcore, so that's all one word, Drum, Corps, really good band that I've discovered this year. Very good.
Yeah.
Ruby.
My honourable mentions is a very much shorter list, a shorter list than Chaz's.
Oh, damn.
Including Inside, obviously, as well, but The Greatest Mistake of My Life by Holding Absence, a band that sort of like took 2021 by the horns and fucking wringed every bit of life out of it because they arguably made the best thing that they've ever done with this record, which, you know, I'd seen them supporting As It Is back in 2018 at the same time I saw Trash Boat supporting As It Is. And I sort of, you know, thought, oh, this band have got something, but, you know, I just sort of kept the minor tab on them. And then along came The Greatest Mistake of My Life. And I was like, this album is phenomenally like made and crafted, and there's been so much effort put into it that, you know, you can see, and I think it just shows in the songs, like, how much care went into making it. And then, speaking of Trash Boat, my other honourable mention, Don't You Feel Amazing by Trash Boat, is an album that actually made me pay attention to Trash Boat. There's a lot of attention gone into the songcraft of this, and, you know, they've mentioned some of their fans got turned away by the change in style. I think arguably it suits them better and allows them to be a much tighter live band and a more enjoyable live band as well.
I haven't seen them live, so I can't comment on that. Well, I have seen them live. I saw them at a festival a couple of years ago, but I didn't really think they were all that. But
yeah.
It is a testament to how much their songcraft has improved, and because I have listened to Trash Boat this year and I hate pop punk, but yeah.
I think that's much less pop punk as well, which, you know, certainly lends itself to it.
Yeah, I think their track Silence is Golden, which is on this record, is a really, really good track from that record.
And then finally, I'm just going to give a shout out to Witch Fever, who released their debut EP Reincarnate this year. I was gutted that the Frank Carter Brixton dates got cancelled for January because they were supposed to be supporting on one of the dates, and it would have been phenomenal to see Witch Fever again live. But either way, we've got Reincarnate. It's grungy, it's fucking heavy, and it's great that there is more Witch Fever to listen to, because boy do I want more Witch Fever. And if you would like to listen to a podcast featuring Witch Fever, there is one on Fresh From The Scene. Go back
there
and
isn't.
Listen to it. There is.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Damn. I love Witch Fever.
Right. That's my honourable mentions. Chaz, take it away. Let's get the first of your top five records of the year.
Excellent. Right, my first record is going to be one that, if your name isn't Ruby Price and you haven't been living under a rock, then you'll probably be quite familiar with it, and that is Olivia Rodrigo's Sour. Now, I did mention before that I have basically been forced to listen to this album by proxy. Now, if I'm completely honest with myself, when this album came out, blew everything out of the water. Great album. probably would have landed higher on my list if I hadn't had to listen to it at work at least 900 times a day for a solid 3 months. But I do think Olivia Rodrigo, she crafts some excellent pop perfection on this record. She somehow single-handedly perfects like the 2000s revivalism that a lot of people are like, just a lot of modern artists are going for now, this early 2000s revivalism. I find it to be Generation Z's magnum opus. It perfectly pins that adolescent melodrama, the melodrama in heartbreak that you feel when you're a teenager, like how the world feels like it's going to end, with every relationship that you find yourself in. I feel like it perfectly sticks a pin in that. It handles a lot of genres incredibly well. Some tracks like Good For You and Brutal are some of the best pop punk tracks I've heard this year. Ironic considering I said I didn't like it, but there you go. And then tracks like Deja Vu is like mid 2000s Taylor Swift, through like a 90s alternative rock filter. Jealousy is like incredibly pop, Billie Eilish. It handles a lot of material incredibly well. It's nostalgic without feeling pastiche, without feeling cheesy. And I do think Olivia Rodrigo will be one to follow in that pop sphere. And I think she's gonna be like an even bigger star than she is now. There you go. Olivia Rodrigo, Sour, number five.
I'm going to go with Life is Pain by Liverpool new metalers Death Blooms. This is a straight up new metal record, you know, and at its core, it is a record made up of like riff hook breakdown songs, but it does it so well that arguably this is the only new metal record you'll ever need. And it's certainly one to experience live, you know. There's a song on it called One Release, which is basically an ode to mosh pits. And, you know, it's a song that you should be moshing to if you are listening to it. Shut Up is a song that you'll scream along to thinking, you know, of that one person that you just want to slap in the face. There was an interesting collaboration, actually, with Wargasm for this song, but that didn't make it to the record. But, you know, as I said on the interview with Paul Barrow from Death Blooms on Fresh From The Scene, both songs have got their reasons to listen to. But yeah, it's a relentless half an hour that you do need to listen to live to fully appreciate. But, you know, it does certainly capture an element of that on the record. And inside, the final track caps it off with a low tempo, haunting element that sort of makes you feel a little bit uneasy. That then gets you to listen to the album again to make yourself feel better. So it's got that circular nature to it, and that's Life is Pain by Death Blooms.
No, I did listen to a couple of tracks off that record, and I must say it's one of my favourites of everything you've picked, because it's heavy and melodic, and it is very new metal. It's like metalcore corn. Metalcore. Yeah.
Metal.
I love it.
Backwards K.
Yeah, that's one I'm going to check out, and I feel like everyone else should. Yeah. Number four is the aforementioned Billie Eilish with her album Happier Than Ever. Billie Eilish doesn't need any introduction to anyone but Ruby.
I've seen Billie Eilish live.
Damn! Oh my God.
Yeah, she was at least.
She's good live, though. She is good live.
Yes.
I mean, from the videos I've seen, I don't know. I haven't gone out to very many live concerts.
Arguably, but she should be headlining the majority of things that she plays at this point. But, mm-hmm. you know, when they actually put her on the lineup for Leeds Fest 2019, they had to move her to the main stage because of how fucking popular she got in the space between announcement and date.
I think Billie Eilish being as popular as she is a miracle for alternative music, because her first album, When We All Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go, it's not the pop that we were listening to in 2019. It's dark and it's brooding, and it feels like like it feels heavy and not in a life is pain kind of way, but in a just in a sheer emotional kind of way. It had a lot of emotional weight to it.
You don't have to be screaming and playing in drop whatever
exactly
to have a heavy song.
Mm-hmm. It was emotionally weighty is what I'm going for. And a lot of it felt like a horror movie to me. Mm. But this album isn't, I mean, it's more of a similar vibe, but it's far more confessional and mature. Songs like Happier Than Ever and NDA and Haley's Comet sort of talk more about her private life and how she's coping with fame and the relationships that come with that. And then songs like Your Power show her songwriting maturity. And like the album I mentioned for my number five pick, Sour, it deals with a lot of teen heartbreak and the shit, but this one deals more with the anger that comes with it. Like on the track, I Didn't Change My Number and Therefore I Am, and again, Happier Than Ever. It's talking about the anger that comes with teenage heartbreak, and the bitterness that you can feel. And it's very potent on this record. For me, it tops Sour in that regard because it's less eye-rollingly immature and far more candid about it in some places. A far more mature record for Billy, a lot more focused in places, but also a lot less hard-hitting than I'd say her previous release. It speaks volumes for the quality of Billie Eilish's music that even a record I feel isn't as strong as her previous outing can still end up at number four for me in my end of year list. Long may Billie Eilish continue making the most haunting pop music around.
Yeah, absolutely. My number four, Something Good in Lost Time by The Blackwaters, who are a Sheffield-based four-piece, who, for the most part, have been known more for, like, fast-paced, punky, you know, heavy guitar, simple, like, lyric-like pieces. You know, the first song I heard by them is a song called Fuck Yeah, and the chorus is just... Oh yeah, fuck yeah. Oh fuck yeah. That's the chorus. So
that is deep.
Exactly. So then, like, from the opening track of Something Good in Lost Time, All the Wrong People, like, you can tell you're in for something completely different. You know, this is more of like an indie rock storytelling record. And one of the things I love about it so much is, you know, it's all been done DIY in-house. Like, this is very much a bedroom masterpiece from the band, you know, in relative terms. You know, Can You Swim is a bouncy, you know, track, thinking about, you know, like, will you survive in these circumstances? Be Your Guide features one of the most interesting cowbell uses I've heard in a while. You know, it can be one of the most grating of instruments, but if done properly, you know, a cowbell can make a track, you know. Home Is Where the Heart Is was recorded live in a street in Sheffield, which, you know, has all of that noise that's going on, which sort of adds to the atmosphere of the song, which is great, I think, in the sense that, you know, it's a very holistic approach to take to making music. So, yeah, overall, it's a very impressive entry, and I can't wait to hear some of these new songs live because, you know, it's going to be interesting to see as to whether with this new sound that they've got, you know, they incorporate some of the older stuff, or if, you know, they use the older style to bring these new songs into the live setting. It'll be interesting to see, I think. But either way, I'm very impressed with Something Good in Lost Time by The Blackwaters.
Number three? My number three is Injury Reserves by The Time I Get to Phoenix. So a little bit of backstory for this record. Injury Reserve have been plugging away in the experimental hip hop scene in America for a few years now. They've released quite a few really, really amazing projects before this year. They've been impressing every time, critical acclaim across the board. And then sadly, one of their three core members, Stepper Dre Groggs, he went by, passed away. He passed away very suddenly. And this record, by the time I get to Phoenix, is the record that they released after he died. And I feel like in any other year, a hip hop record this eccentric and an outsider would have maybe been my number one pick of the year. I can point to Clipping from last year, who had and the year before who had one of my favorite records of the year, and Death Grips back in 2016 with Bottomless Pit, who had a very similar sort of abrasive sound. Also being it's one of my favorite, it's one of my favorite styles of music. But this album, the grief that underpins like the sound of this record is only slightly more crushing than the actual production on this record. I've only had occasion to listen to it, in full, maybe a handful of times, because every time I listen to it, it just crushes me for the rest of the day. It's got that sort of emotional impact on me. It's the most like personal relationship I've had with an album in 2021, and it is for that reason that it's so high on my list, but it's also for that reason that it doesn't top the list, despite being some of my favorite music and production that's happened this year. I can't bring myself to listen to the full thing, because it's heavy, man. It's real heavy. But every stylistic choice is not made with the listener in mind. It feels like they just did this because they felt they had to do it. And it's made in such a way that is so outsider and left field. The sound of it, it sort of puts you in the sort of hellscape that is grief and loss that they must have experienced, losing their best friend. And yeah, it completely abandons any convention. It's probably the closest thing I've ever heard to a sort of post rap album, a post hip hop sort of record. And yeah, I think it's absolutely genius work. And I hope that Nathaniel and Parker continue creating amazing music. R.I.P. Groggs, my number three, by the time I get to Phoenix, injury reserve.
My number three, Build a Problem by Dodie. Namely, for the most part, because the level of production on this thing is ridiculous. Like, this is an album you want to be listening to with headphones in, maybe to an element of intoxication as well, from if that is your thing, of, you know, whichever medium floats you about. But like, I'm still hearing new elements to this record every time I listen to it, you know, listening to it in the run up to recording this, you know, I noticed like some melodic runs from a woodwind instrument in the song Special Girl that I'd never actually picked up before. But it's just, there is so much attention to detail going on here. And like, there's an element of the composition to this record that just shows an almost mastery to the theory behind it, which, you know, this is not a girl on YouTube sat with a ukulele anymore. This is Dodie as a full-on, like, I'm here to stay artist. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of conceptions around her fan base because it's all, you know, young girls who are in, like, a very similar position to what she was like when she was on the YouTube scene. But really, like, you know, that shouldn't even be considered, you know, anything to do with, you know, the artwork in a sense that Dodie is making, because this is a musical, like, masterpiece, really. Like, it's only not at number one because I preferred to listen to the two things that came above it. But, you know, Hate Myself, I Kissed Someone, brackets It Wasn't You, and Cool Girl is a 3-for-3 knockout of consecutive tracks. Even the filler tracks give you something, because as musical pieces, they are incredible to listen to. You know, like, there's Question Mark, and something else that's another piece of punctuation that I can't remember. But, you know, like, it's just great to tie over, and, you know, it's the best filler song that I've heard. But yeah, this is Dodie at her best, and, you know, as you said with Billie Eilish, long may she continue making the music that she's making, because boy is it good. And you should definitely check out Build a Problem by Dodie if you haven't. And like I said, wear headphones, because so much will get missed if you listen to this just on like a speaker or an Amazon device or whatever. You know, it needs the attention.
I think it says a lot about Dodie's singles from that record, that all the ones that I'd already heard and all the ones that I love from that album are all the ones you mentioned. Yeah. Just Hate Myself, I Kissed Someone It Wasn't You, Special Girls, all amazing songs, real good songs. Mm. And I really feel like she has transcended that YouTube girl with a ukulele image that she maybe even held up to as recently as maybe last year, the year before.
Yeah.
Where that was kind of the view of people had of her. No, she's a fully fledged songwriter, here to stay, one of the best. And yeah, I think she proves that.
And I never even used to like Dodie, you know, until the EP from 2019, I think it was, came along that had Monster.
I've always consistently liked Dodie's music. There's always been something about it that that I've found warms the heartstrings. So watching her grow as a songwriter has been really good to watch. Like she's a really talented songwriter, and it's good that she's getting the recognition for that now. Right, we'll move on to number two, and for my number two, it's another one that I would say, if you've lived under a rock, you might not have heard it. And that's Lil Nas X's absolutely banging record, Montero, which is, again, the third album that I will say on my list I would consider a Gen Z pop classic. I'd say even Lil Nas X would want you to believe that this is his Sistine Chapel. It's his masterpiece. And I personally think there's not a brushstroke out of place on this record. The bangers slap. The two like main leading tracks, the two singles, Montero, Industry Baby, are two of the best, catchiest hip hop and pop tracks of the last 20 years. No, I'm joking. Of the 2020s, definitely for sure. He gets, but even as far as those bangers go, he gets more confessional on tracks like Sun Goes Down and Life After Salem. You sort of meet the man behind the memes. He shows a penchant for even the rockier alternative side of his music taste on tracks like Lost in the Citadel and other songs. The pop songwriting, One of Me, That's What I Want. He skips around between all of these genres, just alt rock, and then another track is a pop rock banger with Doja Cat and Megan Thee Stallion, and then he'll pop back in to just a really solid pop song. And then I think one of the defining features of what makes Generation Z's pop music is that they refuse to be boxed into one genre. You think I'm a hip hop artist? Well, I'm not. I do this now. And and I think Lil Nas X just carries the torch for that sort of really eclectic songwriting, that really eclectic Gen Z style of pop music that I love very much. I just think he's an icon. I think all the features on the record are great. It's a fun time. And, you know, on the tracks where he's talking about when he gets a little bit more serious, they hit just as hard. When he's trying to have fun, he's having fun and I'm having fun. So, it's not exactly the heaviest or the most, it's not a piece of art. I think a lot of people would say, but I would disagree with them. And I think if you're having fun, that I had a lot of fun with this record. So it's a solid 10 out of 10 for me.
A solid 10 out of 10, and it's only at P2. Interesting.
I know. That's because my number one is also a solid 10 out of 10.
My number two is England Screams by the Blackpool outfit Strange Bones. So this is another one that is all in-house. You might have noticed, like, that's one of the things I seem to quite appreciate from the music scene these days. You know, my album of the year last year, Nothing Is True and Everything Is Possible by Enter Shikari, all done in-house. Two of my records from this year have been all in-house. You know, it's just an element to music that I really appreciate. Not saying that it has to be done by yourself to be good, but, you know, it's a holistic approach to music that I appreciate. But yeah, this is self-proclaimed jungle punk from Strange Bones, in the sense, you know, there's a lot of classic electro stuff going on, whilst you've also brought in like synths and stuff into punk music. It honors those that came before, like The Prodigy, Keith Flint, etc., and other such greats, whilst carving out their own identity across 12 gut punching tracks. You know, there's some great collabs on this one. Bob Villain comes across in Menace, which is a particular highlight. The song As He Gets Angrier, The Music Gets Heavier, which is an interesting, you know, element that they really use well. It's great that they haven't lost any of the attitude of their older punker songs, like Big Sister's Watching You, which, you know, takes a big look at, you know, the time when Theresa May was trying to put in like backdoor access to a lot of like encrypted areas and stuff. But really, it just offers a good look at the post-apocalyptic state that we've ended up in. You know, England Screams as a title tells you pretty much everything you need to know going into this, what the, you know, lyrical content's going to be. And jungle punk as a description, you know you're going to be getting like some crazy drum parts with, you know, fuzzy synths, and there's still, you know, all of the instrumentation of a live rock punk band going on, you know, with vocals, guitars, bass and drums and all of that. And, you know, if you ever get the chance to experience Strange Bones in a live setting, do so, because they were great before this record came along, and now that they've got this record, they're even better. So yeah, England Screams, Strange Bones, number two on my list.
So number ones, guys. number ones. So my number one is a record that I didn't anticipate maybe being my number one this year, and that's An Evening with Silk Sonic by Silk Sonic. Silk Sonic, of course, is Anderson .Paak and Bruno Mars. If you'd have told me 5 years ago Bruno Mars would have my number one album of the year, then I'd tell you to throw yourself into a well. But no. Yeah. I'll tell you to go catch a grenade. Yeah. Listen, the album doesn't reinvent anything. I don't even think it attempts to reinvent anything in the last 20 years at least, but it's the best soul record released in the mainstream, I'd say, for decades, I'd say. Bruno Mars, I'd say, somehow sneaks his way into legend status in the pop sphere. He sort of sneaks through the back door. I feel like he can't do any wrong anymore. And Anderson .Paak is just as fantastic as he's always been. It's a combination that just makes sense. Two smooth gentlemen with a documented love of classic funk and soul, you know, put them together, fireworks. And I really do think this record, there's not a single miss at all throughout the entire record. Leave the Door Open, the first track that was released, is just a perfect soul. It's just a perfect soul song. And then there's songs like Fly As Me and 777, which are just victory laps for the lavish lifestyle, which would maybe be cheesy in the hands of anyone but Bruno Mars and Anderson .Paak. But it's pulled off with so much, for lack of a better word, swagger. Even when they, you know, push the tempo down, with songs like Put On A Smile and the closing song, which is a psychedelic soul song, and put on their Marvin Gaye instead of their James Brown. It just works. It's just class songwriting. It's first class songwriting. I feel like it would sit perfectly well in a 1970s compilation of the best soul music of all time. And that's real compliments, because some of those are the best songs that have ever been written ever. I just think it's not only one of the best albums that I've heard this year, but I'd say it's the best soul album I think has ever come out in my lifetime. And I know that's probably big, but for me at least, and I sat with this record for at least for at least 3 weeks without listening to literally anything else. And yeah, it's short, it's sweet, it's just a little over half an hour long. It doesn't outstay its welcome. All the songs are bops. All the tracks are really magnificently produced. Bruno Mars is amazing. Anderson .Paak's amazing. Listen to the record if you haven't already. It's called An Evening with Silk Sonic by Silk Sonic.
Right, and on to my number one. I also would not have expected this to get to my number one going into 2021. It's from a band who, you know, I'm going to set a context scene here. In 2019, in September, I was at a gig at my local venue, The Parish, just being put on as part of like an end of week freshers event. Press D'Amico headlining, you know, with support from Chapter and Verse and Kill the Silence. And Press D'Amico start playing and they get to the vocals. And I'm just kind of like, wait a second, who's singing this song? Because neither the two front people on guitar and bass have stood like to the microphone. And I can't see the drummer because, you know, he's a drummer. He's sat down. The drummer's the person that's singing. The three members of this band share vocal duties, which for me, like, in the music I listen to, like, isn't really that common. You know, a lot of the bands I listen to either have, like, one main vocalist or two who will occasionally share duties. This is a band where every single person in the band is a main vocalist. So yeah, that's scene setting. Comes along to them releasing Transmute, and, you know, it's basically harmonies for days. You know, it's hard to compare this to like other artists because Press D'Amico, in my mind, occupy their own sort of space of harmony-driven, fuzzy, stompy rock music. But, you know, if I was going to compare it, Don Broco would be, you know, something that would get compared to, I think. But yeah, it would have been very easy for Press D'Amico to fall apart, you know, when their bassist and vocalist left, due to the nature of the band being so, you know, reliant on the three members working together. But, you know, when they got the new bassist and vocalist, Jake Crawford, you know, they came back stronger than ever. There's always something going on in the instrumentation of these songs, and where there's vocals, it's usually a combination of at least two vocalists, you know, working in harmony with some fantastic harmonies and stuff. And, you know, the instrumentation producing either stompy, groovy, you know, bops effectively. You know, I'd happily listen to this album instrumentally, but it's a combination of the instrumentation and the vocals that, you know, just give this record life. Three very big recommendations from it: Sabotage, A Test of Our Resolve, and Gold. You know, there's a riff in Gold that basically starts off being like a, you know, high tempo, you know, squealy thing that just gradually slows down and devolves to the point where it's just like slow and groovy, but it's the same riff, you know, and it's great. There's screaming, there's harmonies, there's great instrumentation, and I can't do this record justice with the way that I'm talking about it. So you immediately after this podcast, go and listen to Transmute by Press D'Amico. It is hands down my record of the year. And that's our records of the year. So let's move on to some songs of the year now. Starting with your honorable mentions, Chaz. Let's go.
Right. How many do you want? Because I've got a list of 100 songs here.
Not 100.
Okay.
My honorable mentions consist of 5 songs, so give me 5.
5. All right, I'll give you my top 5 favorite songs that didn't make it to my top 5. Yeah.
My top
right,
5
so,
wasn't my top 5.
Yes. So honorable mentions, there's an artist called Sam Gellatry, who I hadn't heard of until this year. He released an absolutely fantastic song called Geo. It's sort of a synth pop song. That's a really good song. I can't do that song justice. Go listen to it. It's magnificent. One of my favorite British rap songs of the year, Variation by Big Zoo and DEE. The flows on that record are immaculate. The production on that record is immaculate. Royal Blood had one of my favorite songs this year, Trouble's Coming, because that is a real, real groovy song. It fits nicely onto the Spotify playlist Walk Like a Badass. And I only say that because most of the time when I was listening to it, I'd be listening to it on the way home from work, and just strutting my way home, strutting away. Doja Cat had a really, really wonderful song in the summer, my summer jam, I would say, with SZA called Kiss Me More, which if you're on TikTok at all, you've probably heard before. I'll do a couple more. Don Broco's Uber, I've already said it. Fucking absolutely magnificent song. And Zeal and Ardor released a song called Run this year, which is a wonderful mutation of black metal, but also like alternative rock, sort of with a bluesy flavor, which is just absolutely infectious. And that also makes me want to just run through the streets and fight a demon. So there you go. Those are my honorable mentions.
Thank you very much, Jess. my honorable mentions, I'm going to start with Silence is Golden by Trash Boat, previously mentioned in this podcast. Yeah, like, as I mentioned, Trash Boat's songwriting and stuff for their, you know, record that came out this year was just on another level. And a lot of the topics that this record talks about, you know, are all pretty, like, good. Good is not the word, but, you know, they're all pretty good and pretty important. Mm. You know, previously, until I gave it a bit of more consideration, this song was going to be He's So Good, just mm-hmm. for the matter that it talks about. But, you know, Silence is Golden, just as a song in general, I think, like, sort of outshines the topic that, you know, He's So Good talks about.
Yeah, but, I think that song is perfectly summed up by its opening line. Yeah. War for an enemy we can't reach, so we turn our heads to the man on the street. It's scapegoating the people of the UK, and that's kind of what the song's talking about. And it is a absolutely phenomenal song. I do love that song.
It absolutely is. Death Wish by Strange Bones from, you know, the previously mentioned England Screams. Very good, very electronic and heavy, and, you know, gives a bit of a shout out to the Blackpool scene as well, which is great. Hate Myself, Dodie, we've mentioned, fantastic songwriter. This song itself is one of my favourites on the record. I just wanted to give a little mention of it. Afterlife by Holding Absence, I mentioned in my honourable mentions for the record of the year. Afterlife in itself, like, started the campaign really for The Greatest Mistake of My Life, and, you know, it's just a banger, really. You know, it's loud. The snare, you know, in particular is a highlight. And my last honourable mention, I sort of had to include As It Is on this list, but I didn't want to include them in my top 5. I Miss 2003. It's this generation's 1985, I think. You know, but instead of referring to cultural phenomenons, it's just referring to the music of 2003, which, you know, it's a nod to the musicians that came before them. And it's just quite nostalgic to listen to, especially if you listen to any of the songs that, you know, get mentioned. You know, there's Newfound Glory, Jimmy World, Paramore, All Time Low, all of that stuff. Basically my music taste, up to a point. There we go. Honorable mentions. So Chaz, take it away with your number 5 of your top songs.
So my number 5 is one that I cannot properly and adequately explain to you why I think it's so infectious. It is Hiatus Coyote's Chivalry Is Not Dead. Now, listen, have you ever heard a better song about a mating ritual for leopard slugs and seahorses? No, I don't think you have.
No, I can't think of one off the top of my head.
Yeah. So it's a love song. It's a song about, I think it's meant to be a sex jam, but lead singer Napalm kind of took it to a really weird left field direction where she sort of equates, you know, that sort of carnal desire with the mating rituals of leopard slugs and seahorses. And it's absolutely magnificent. And no, like I say, when I say it like that, it sounds dumb, but no, the song it's really smart. It's really catchy. The R&B production is magnificent. You've never heard an R&B song like it, and you probably never will again. Napalm's voice is the complete opposite of what her name sounds like, and more, you know, it's a powerful entity snaking its way through like a multicolored jungle, is how I kind of view it every time I listen to the song. I think it's wonderful. And I didn't mention it before, but Hiatus Coyote's new album is also absolutely magnificent, and one to check out, even if I haven't done it very much justice here. But it's a wonderful song. It's fantastic. I love it very much.
I'm going to start off my top five with Summertime by Alex Vallejo. Instrumental guitar music, you know, it sort of has a lot to do in order to win you over, really. I think, you know, it doesn't have vocal hooks, so it has to, you know, have those catchy melodies that are going to become earworms. And I think that's very much what this song does very well. The melodies are incredibly catchy, and just the technique behind what's being played as well. I think, you know, it is very much a showcase of Alex's guitar ability. And I think it's just to an immense level and improves on what we got on the EP that he released in 2019 of obviously the same genre. But, you know, this is just taking what he had with that one and multiplying it by, you know, 16. It's a great single, I think, and a good example of some instrumental guitar music, you know, which I'm looking forward to seeing what comes next.
So my number four is going to take a lot of people by surprise if you've been keeping up with what kind of music I've been putting on my top five so far. So my albums were full of pop music, and this pop music is not. So my number four is Lorna Shore with To the Hellfire. There's one word to describe this song for me, and that is catharsis. It's just very cathartic. I'll be the first to admit that I've had a tough year. I spent a lot of this year broken and being very angry about it. I think I'd be the first to admit I've spent a lot of this year angry enough to battle a god in the streets with my bare hands. And that is what this song makes me feel like. It makes me feel like I am just wrestling with the Lord himself above a great big fire of above the fires of hell. I love it so
Kratos
much.
Sharon.
Yeah, Kratos Sharon. That is my name. yeah, I feel like when I was a kid, or like in my early teenage years, when I was discovering alternative music, well, not even alternative music, when I was discovering sort of heavy metal and stuff like that, I was fascinated with music that, for me, like, sort of scared me. I'd say sort of scared me, you know, not in a visceral, horrible kind of way, but in it more like how you would watch a horror film, in that sort of songs that sort of disturb you or unsettle you in some way. And that's how I sort of found myself drifting more towards death metal and black metal in my late teenage years. And then And once you get sort of used to that and you sort of get accustomed to it, it loses a lot of its flavor. For me, this is my experience. It lost a lot of its flavor because none of it scared me anymore. None of it gave me that same thrill as it did when I was a young teenager. And I feel like this song and the song that was also released on the EP Of The Abyss by Lorna Shore is the first song in maybe 10 years to sort of give me that feeling back. And I absolutely adore it for that. They've got a new vocalist, Will Ramos, I think his name is. He sparked new life into the band with a sort of black and deathcore sound with vocals that will often switch from sort of bestial to goblin. I'd say it sounds like a horribly demented goblin, in the blink of an eye. And the payoff for this song is just one of heavy music's just the best breakdown, one of the best breakdowns I've ever heard in my life. An absolutely brutal raging song that understands me on a very primal level. I could not get enough of it. And they've only released three songs this year, and I've been obsessed with all of them. I hope Lorna Shore release an album next year. And no doubt there'll be more Lorna Shore on next year's list as well. Just a very, very exciting band to follow in extreme music right now.
My number four, I don't have much to say about, but what I do have to say about Animal by Raiders is that it's 5.5 minutes of riffs, screams and headbanging, and that arguably Sean Smith is at a higher peak than when he was in the Blackout. As far as a performance element is concerned, you know, obviously the Blackout is a much bigger band than Raiders. Well, the Blackout was a much bigger band than Raiders could possibly be, given just the change in, you know, music consumption in the music scene. But really, you know, the instrumentation on this song is brutal. It is 5.5 minutes. So, you know, there's a lot to go on during that time period, but this is the last song that Raiders recorded when they recorded the last bunch of songs that came out last year. And arguably they have saved the best for last. You know, it was a song that I first heard live, and, you know, the studio version does it a lot of justice. You know, it's hard to, you know, sometimes with music in this sort of like genre, it's very easy to have it being as a live staple, where the studio version is rather underwhelming. I think one of the things that they do really well in this is capturing that live element. And, you know, that comes with the dynamics changes that the song goes through. There's quiet sections. There's, you know, fucking juicy bass tones. But arguably it all comes together really well to create a great song in Animal. And like I say, I didn't have much more to say about it other than that.
So my number three is the aforementioned Silk Sonic with Leave the Door Open. Somehow this track sounds just as lavish and just as high class and velvet laden as the lyrics suggest. You know, the vibe is almost you can see purple smoke and velvet and silk and all things nice, champagne and it's just a velvet wrapped piece of nostalgic 70s Motown revivalism. Smooth as butter, walks the line of homage to that sort of style of music, that era of music, without ever falling into parody or cheese even. I'm sure a lot of people think it's a bit cheesy, but for me it's like it's just amazing. And there's not much I can say about this song that I haven't already said about the album. Wouldn't sound out of place at all on one of the best soul songs of the 70s. And again, some of the best soul songs ever written. And by proxy, one of the best soul songs ever written. So I literally cannot give it any higher praise than that. It's just one of my favorite tracks off of one of my favorite albums. And that is all I have to say about that.
My number three is from a band that I thought I was done with when they released their previous record. The Pretty Reckless and So It Went, featuring Tom Morello of, you know, Rage Against the Machine fame. This album and song in particular was a big return to form from The Pretty Reckless. You know, it's energetic with oomph, something that, you know, their last record was missing. And when they announced this record, you know, I was a bit tentative to give it any, you know, attention, or not necessarily attention, engagement, for the sake of not wanting to be as disappointed as I was with their last one. But really, you know, this is one hell of a song from a band that, you know, needed to produce something along those lines in order to give people a reason to continue listening, because, you know, there's only so much you can get by with being a band fronted by Taylor Momsen, you know, in this scene. You know, everyone will always remember, you know, Miss Nothing and Make Me Wanna Die, and Going to Hell from their second record. But, you know, I don't even remember the name of their third record, because that's how much of a flop it was, really. But, you know, there's classic Tom Morello on this song. Big sing-along sections of, you know, the world does not belong to you. You know, it's The Pretty Reckless, so you don't exactly expect the deepest of lyrics, but, or even lyrics of the most, you know, intense meaning. But given where we were at, this song really took me by surprise and has been one of the staples of my Apple Music listening habits this year. So I'm very grateful that The Pretty Reckless got their act together for album 4 and produced some great songs on it. Give it a listen. Guitar-based music with The Pretty Reckless, and So It Went.
My number 2 is Lil Nas X's Montero, Call Me By Your Name. So before Montero, did we even really know Lil Nas X? You know, he had a few big hits. Old Town Road, obviously, being the biggest of them. I think
still actually not heard in its entirety.
You've not heard Old Town Road? Right, no, we're going to discuss this. What rock are you living in? What moss-covered stone have you been burying your head under? For you?
I've obviously heard the chorus and shit, but, you know.
It's like one of the biggest songs of all time. But yeah, no, Old Town Road being the biggest one. I think a lot of people wrote him off as maybe one of the most successful one-hit wonders of all time. I mean, I would argue he had other successes. He had a follow-up hit with Panini, which was fine, and then a Christmas song last year with Holiday, which I still maintain is an absolute bop. I absolutely love that song so much, but we didn't really know him. We didn't know the pop star, the meme lord, the gay visionary, the LGBT icon. We didn't know that Lil Nas X, the marketing genius, you know? And yes, did that launch, did his whole career maybe launch off the back of a very controversial music video with this song? Yes, potentially. But is this the best pop track of the year? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. The flamenco lace production and the storytelling lyrics. It's one of the catchiest songs that I've ever heard. It made me fall in love with the man, the myth, the legend, Lil Nas X. I just think he's an icon. I think he's a wonderful guy. Lil Nas X, Montero. What hasn't been said about that? What needs to be said? Everyone said everything. So, yeah, a wonderful song. A fantastic song. A very sexy song. Fantastic song. A beautiful song. How many adjectives do you need?
At least once more.
At least once more. An absolutely fantabulous song.
Oh, there we go. My number 2 is rectifying a mistake from last year of missing out a band from what should have been on my records of the year. Antagonist by Nova Twins. An angry electro-punk song with whoop-whoops, you know. And whoop-whoops have been missing from music for a while, but Nova Twins are very much, you know, including them in the best way possible, you know. It's a defiant song about self-belief, they say, you know. There's some great fucking lyrics in it, the chorus being, it's a fight that you know you're going to lose. I'm a star thrower coming straight for you. Know what I came here for. If it's not love, then there's only war. You know, this song is about, you know, knowing what you're, you know, what you can do and not really paying attention to what people are saying that you shouldn't be able to do, you know. And I think tying it into, you know, tying it into the identities of band members of Nova Twins, you know, being people of color in the alternative rock scene with, you know, the electro like tied in, you know, they've been told that that is not the place for them. And this song really just sort of says, now, fuck you. We have every right to be here. And boy, do they, you know, I saw them live supporting Enter Shikari in Leeds this year. They put on a fantastic show. You know, those two girls belong on any stage that you could put them on, you know, and, you know, will earn the right to be there for much longer. And this song, you know, only being the one song I think they've released this year, is a bit of a shame. But like I say, I missed out putting them on my records of the year last year, despite the fact I should have done, because I did hear that record before it came out, before the podcast episode came out. But yeah, no, Antagonist, Nova Twins, number two on my list. Definitely check it out.
Yeah, I will do. I do love what they've been doing, what they were doing last year, especially, and hopefully Nova Twins will put out a record next year that we can both just go mad over next year.
Yeah. I have no doubt that will happen. You know.
So that's it. Number one. So my number one is a track by an artist that I'd never heard of before this year. I will admit it's the only track by this artist that I am this enamored with. And it is the track I'd rather Die Than Be Deported by Berwyn. Berwyn, originally named Berwyn Dubois, is a Trinidad-born musician. He mixes a lot of genres. He mixes soul music and trap music and drill music and hip hop and he moved to the UK at age 9 with what he describes, or what has been described, as uncertain immigration status. This track tells his story, the fact he couldn't go to university despite achieving good grades at school, his mother being in and out of jail, which led to his stints of homelessness. The story goes that he gave music one last shot before he had to move back to Trinidad. This was with his first project. On this track, I'd Rather Die Than Be Deported, he talks in just a lot of detail about his struggles with his immigration status, how being marginalized shaped his worldview, how his family in similar positions dealt with it in their own ways, his brushes with crime and street culture. It's all laid out, very confessional, upfront, in a no holds barred kind of way. It's really stuck with me. I'd say this is probably my number one track, because I think I was on my way back from Leeds, when this, the week this song came out, and I was just casually I think I was skimming the new releases that week, like I do every week, and it affected me in a very, very deeply personal way, as a person born outside of the UK. This year has been very difficult for me in a way that, because I've had to claim the right to live here, it almost felt like, it sort of felt in a way like I had to apply to live in a place where I'd been through the entire education system, a place that I've called home. In all regards, I would say I'm British except for my passport, and it felt very personal to me. And I don't know, it was sort of an awakening for me, listening to this song, that almost some people have dealt with it far worse than me. It was very eye-opening for me. It changed the way I viewed things. To hear Berwyn's sort of his experiences with it all, It sort of recontextualized everything for me, that I've had it incredibly easy. I haven't had to struggle. I was able to go to uni. It wasn't an issue. And even though I don't think my struggle is any less, is any lesser for it. It did help just rejig the way I view the world and see that I'm an incredibly lucky, an incredibly privileged position where, despite my immigration status, I still had all the opportunity that I could possibly have. And I just think it's a very frank, it's a very, yeah, I love it very much. I feel very personally connected to it. And I thank Berwyn for releasing it. I love it.
Well, you've given me quite the job of following that, you know, considering that I've already spoken about some of the parts of this song. But yeah, my number one is Sabotage from Preston Miko's Record for the Year for me. Interestingly, that, you know, the Record of the Year and the Song of the Year were from the same artist. But yeah, I think the logic was, you know, I had to basically include my favorite song from my favorite album of the year. And it just ended up making it to the top of the list. You know, it's one hell of a catchy tune. You know, it's 3 minutes of like punching you repetitively with music, and then a final minute of such a grandiose brass section. It's one of those songs that, you know, you're listening to it and you're like, oh yeah, this feels familiar. But really, it's Preston Miko just like doing their thing of giving you a song that you didn't know you needed or to like to listen to already. You know, juicy tones, harmonies, it's catchy, and it's, you know, one interpretation of it could be, you know, it's the band had been existed for a decade prior to this record coming out. You know, they went through all of that shit with, you know, the band nearly basically breaking up after one of the three members leaves. And, you know, sort of like Sabotage, it's thinking, oh, you know, we had a good thing going on here, to quote one of the lyrics from it. And now things are going wrong. Like, have we sabotaged ourselves by being so reliant on the members of the band? You know, Sabotage by Preston Miko is just my favorite song of the year. Like, it's not, it obviously doesn't speak to me the same way that, you know, I'd Rather Die Than Get Deported does to you. But, you know,
I wouldn't say it needs to. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I don't feel like music needs to speak to you always in that way. And I think that's why I've had quite a lot of pop music on my list, is just because sometimes you don't need all that.
Yeah.
If it spoke to you enough for it to be your number one song of the year, then that is enough, I would think.
I completely agree. And, you know, like, if every song's speaking to you, you know, you don't have any chance to switch off when you're listening to music, you know, as opposed to, you know, if every now and then the songs speak to you, those are the songs that are special. You know, it's the Incredibles. Oh, if everyone's special, then no one is.
It'd be like listening. It'd be like watching like the deepest, most emotional movie for every single movie. You don't need that. Sometimes you need to unwind with a comedy.
Yeah, or just
sometimes you need something like
a roller coaster of you know, Marvel movies and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Cinema, just sometimes you need a little bit of popcorn in your diet.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, like I say, Sabotage, Preston Miko, my song of the year.
I'd say you missed the most important part of that song as well. The cowbell on that song, absolutely immense.
I did mention cowbells in I think I did, at least when I was talking about it as my album for the day. But yeah, the cowbell in the drum part of Sabotage by Preston Miko is immense. Like I said, when I was talking about cowbells, when I was referring to Something Good Lost in Time by the Black Waters, you know, a good cowbell can make or break, you know, well, a cowbell can make or break a song, and it certainly makes this song as well.
Well, I 100% agree with that, because when I first heard this song around 3 hours ago, when you sent me your list, I have one word written on this piece of paper for this song, and it's just cowbell with an underlining. I just, yeah, they're just incredible. 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. Yeah.
For that cowbell.
The cowbell.
For the cowbell alone.
Yeah, those were our lists. So now, if you fancy giving this a share on social media with your songs and albums of the year, and let us know so that we can, you know, respond. That would be great.
Yeah, and let Ruby know as well. Is there someone in 2022 that you're really looking forward to dropping some music? Someone you really hope drops some music? What are your hopes and wishes for 2022?
Musically, like, we can't promise anything. About, yeah, no. The rest of the
thing. We aren't genies. We can't magic you. No. Stuff, but music, just music specifically.
Bo Burnham releases just an actual record.
Absolutely, 100%. That's what we outside. All want. Outside, you know what? That would be a genius move on his part.
It really would.
Yeah. But yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you very much for agreeing to come back again. And if anyone fancies finding you because they've enjoyed listening to, you know, our banter for the last God knows how long, where do you want them to go?
My Twitter, Chaz_Sharon. It's the only social media I use at this point. Yeah, I've hopefully got some big things coming out in 2022. I've got some music hopefully coming out as well soon. So yeah, no, just follow me on Twitter. Chaz_Sharon, and yeah, I'll be there.
You're listening to Fresh from the Scene with Ruby Price.
Thank you very much for listening. If you enjoyed that, please do give it a share on social media and be sure to follow Chaz and myself on social media. As I said, there's links in the description. What were some of your favourite records and songs of 2021? Do let us know. It would be good to compare. Thank you and goodbye.